Well, good morning. Our passage today is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the heading for today's study is Facing the Giant. It's actually the longest chapter in the book of 1 Samuel, so we'll just read some selected verses from the chapter. Verse 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armour on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we might fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Verse 20, "And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse his father had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David said to the men who stood by him, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" Verse 31, "When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Verse 48, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Verse 57, and as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." May God bless his word and give help as we look at it today. This chapter surely contains one of the most exciting and well-known stories in all of the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. And it still excites me when I read this, to think of this young man's boldness facing the giant and what he did that day in the power of God. It thrills me when I read it. And what lessons there are for us in this chapter. And I want to think of three things. I want to think about the fight, the battle. Now, the Bible tells us that the Christian life is a struggle. It's a constant struggle. It's a fight. I want to think about the foe in the fight. And I want to think about the faith for the fight. And as we think about the faith required, or the faith in the fight, I want to think about how both Saul and David approached the fight. And we'll think about Saul's paralysis. He had no power. He was paralyzed with fear. And I want to think about David's power. Saul's paralysis and David's power. And so the study this morning, it will be very simple, but hopefully very practical. But these are the three things we're going to think about. The fight, the foe, and the faith. The fight. Where did this battle take place? Well, it actually took place not too far from the Philistines' home territory. Probably about 6 miles from Gath, where Goliath the giant was from. It took place in the valley of Elah. Saul and the Israelites were encamped at the valley of Elah, and they faced the giant in the valley. The Christian life is a fight. The moment you trust Christ, you are called, you are placed into the battle. And it's a spiritual battle. And it's a constant battle for the rest of your life. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And it is a spiritual battle. There is a struggle within and there is a struggle without. Galatians 5, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. There is a battle within, there is a battle without, and we face a spiritual foe. And throughout the fight, throughout your life, you will face giants. And quite often it is when you are in the valley that you will face the giant. And whether it's the giant of doubt, or the giant of sin, the giant of the flesh? When you pass through the valley experiences of life, when your faith is tested, quite often it is then when you are most vulnerable to attack, and it is often when you are in the valley that you will face the giant. I want to think about the foe in the fight. You know, throughout 1 Samuel, we've already touched on this in our study, but throughout 1 Samuel, the main enemy of God's people were the Philistines. They weren't the only enemy. The Amalekites, for example, were another enemy, but the main enemy was the Philistines, as you read through the book of 1 Samuel. They were a persistent enemy. 1 Samuel chapter 14, Saul had the Philistines on the ropes. He had almost wiped them out. Here in chapter 17, they're back again. They're not going away. They've regrouped. They're better organized. They're bigger. They're badder than they were before. They're back. A persistent enemy. They were a pernicious enemy. They were cunning. They had a strategy. They had a plan. I think it was Mr. Riddle a couple of weeks ago gave us a really helpful overview of the strategy, the tactics of the Philistines. To capture the wells, to stop the wells, to fill in the wells. To cut off the water supply. To control the arms race. To monopolize the manufacture of weapons and machinery. To sow seeds of disunity among the Israelites. And ultimately their aim was to take the Israelites as their servants, to have mastery over the Israelites. A persistent and a pernicious foe. Let me tell you, there is just a faint, faint picture of the foe that we face as Christians. Our foe is even more persistent. He never gives up. Day and night he's before God, the accuser of the brethren. Day and night he never gives up. 1 Peter 5, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. You is in the plural, not just Peter. Satan hath desired to have you all, that he may shake you, that he may sift you as wheat. He's persistent, he's pernicious. Paul counsels the Ephesians, again in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil. The roaring lion is capable of masquerading as an angel of light. He has a strategy, he has a plan, the wiles of the devil. But the foe in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the foe is personified in the form of Goliath, the giant. Verse 4, he's described as the Philistines' champion. If you've got a Newbery Bible, the word champion means the middleman. The one who stood between the two camps. And as he taunts the Israelites, he says to them in verse 8, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Now I understand that the correct rendering, or the better rendering of this, of that phrase is this. I am the man who represents the strength of the Philistines. That's from Keelan DeLeach, if you're interested. And this foe, this giant Goliath, he's inhuman, isn't he? Barbaric. There's just something unnatural about this man. He came from Gath, where the Anakim lived. The sons of Anak. You'll remember back in Numbers chapter 13, the story of the 12 spies, and the children of Israel are on the very threshold of the promised land. And the 12 spies are sent into the land, and 10 came back with their evil report, saying it is a land that its inhabitants devour. It is a land full of giants, the sons of Anak, the Anakim were there. And we seemed as grasshoppers compared to them. Joshua, you come to Joshua chapter 11, and Joshua drove the Anakim giants almost completely out of the land, apart from a few who settled in the country of the Philistines, and some who settled in the city of Gath. And here stands one of their descendants in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's quite unnatural to look at in appearance. 6 cubits and a span, 9 foot 9 inches tall. Possibly with 6 digits on his hands and his feet. You know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but he seems to be associated with the number 6. You know, Satan's number. His spear, the spearhead, weighed 600 shekels of iron. An inhuman, an unnatural foe, just like ours. A spiritual fight with a spiritual foe. There is nothing natural about Satan. An inhuman foe. Not only was Goliath inhuman, but he was seemingly invincible to the Israelites. Just look at his armor. Just look at his weapons. A helmet of bronze. A helmet as big as a miniskip and a head to fill it. A bronze coat of mail, 5,000 shekels in weight, 55 kilograms or 8.5 stones. Can you imagine trying to lift it, let alone fight with it? Bronze armor on his leg, the shaft of his spear like a weaver's beam. What a sight, what a size. A seemingly invincible foe. What about his tactics? He was a master at the art of intimidation. It wasn't just about his appearance. It was about his actions. For 40 days, almost over 6 weeks, morning and evening for 40 days, there he stood in front of the Israelites, taunting the Israelites, intimidating the Israelites, trying to wear them down, trying to make them feel small as grasshoppers. Exactly the same as the children of Israel in Numbers 13. When they saw the Anakim, when they saw the giants, they felt as grasshoppers in their sight. We face a foe as Christians who is a master in the art of intimidation. He wants you to feel that small. He wants you to feel like a grasshopper. He wants God's people to feel small. He wants to intimidate you. He wants you to think, what can I do? What can I do for God? What difference can I make? No one's interested in the gospel. No one's coming. He wants you to make you feel that small. How does he go about intimidating God's people? Well, just like Goliath went about intimidating the Israelites. What was the basis of Goliath's challenge to the Israelites? Give me a man. Give me your best man. In other words, let's leave God out of this fight. Just give me a man. And if he kills me, we'll be your servants. But if I kill him, then you shall be our servants and you will serve us. That was his aim. That's what Satan wants. Let's leave God out of the fight. Just give me a man. Just give me a woman. Leave God out of the fight. Now the faith for the fight. The fight, the foe, the faith. This is the practical bit of the message. I want to think about how both Saul and David approached the fight. And I want to think about Saul's paralysis, and I want to think about David's power. Goliath wanted a man, verse 8. He wanted a man. Send me a man. Come down and fight with me. This is a fight for big men. Leave God out of it. It's a fight for big men. Send me your biggest and best man and I'll fight with him. Who was the Israelites' biggest and best man? Saul. He stood head and shoulders above all else in Israel. He was the biggest man. He was the best man. This is a fight for you, Saul. You're our biggest. You're our best. This is your fight, Saul. Where was Saul? When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. He was paralyzed with fear. He had no power for the fight. What was the source of Saul's paralysis? Why was there this absence of power in the moment of conflict? Well, I think you can trace the source of his paralysis back to his past. He was paralyzed by his past and the key decisions he had made in his life. I wonder if that's true of us. I wonder if we are paralyzed by our past. You remember his unlawful sacrifice in chapter 13, his haste, his refusal to wait on God's timing in his life, his rash vow in chapter 14, which we'll think about again, his disobedience in sparing Agag in chapter 15. He made poor decisions in life. He was disobedient in following God's instructions. And when it comes to the fight, and when it comes to chapter 17, Samuel had left him. And more importantly, the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Noel's chapter last week, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And he had no power. And he was paralyzed with fear in the fight. Saul to me in chapter 17 is a picture of the natural man. He is a picture of the weakness of the flesh. He is paralyzed by fear with no power to face the foe in the fight. And all this from Israel's biggest and best. There's another lesson here, and I think it's a pretty important lesson. Thinking about Saul's paralysis, no power in his life. He was someone who had failed to deal with the problems of sin in his life. You go back to chapter 14 and Saul had the Philistines on the ropes. They were fleeing from the Israelites. And he should have gone after them and he should have pursued them and he should have wiped them out. But then he makes his rash vow. And the soldiers are forbidden from eating anything and the soldiers become faint. And the Philistines escape. And now they're back. In chapter 17, they're back. And they're bigger. And they're badder, if that's such a word. And they're better organized than they've ever been. And they're back. That wasn't a one-off in Saul's life. You remember the Amalekites in chapter 15. God told Saul to wipe them out entirely. Spare no one. Spare nothing. Be ruthless. God's instruction may to us appear harsh, but there was good reason for it. And Saul spared Agag, the king, and he spared the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. What's the harm in that? You fast forward to the days of Esther, and we touched on this when we studied Esther some time ago. And there's a man of influence in the palace. And he's a man who is openly orchestrating the destruction of the entire nation of the Jews. That man's name is Haman. He is a descendant of Agag. The Bible says the enemy of the Jews. And Saul's failure to deal with the problem of sin in his life there and then led to the problem returning later on in life. And when the problem returned, it was a bigger, more serious problem than it ever was if he had dealt with it in his life at the time. And the lesson to me is simple, that if you don't deal with sin in your life, if you're not ruthless when it comes to matters of the flesh and matters of sin in your life as a Christian, the problem will return later in life. And it will be a far bigger and a far more serious problem when it returns. Be ruthless. It is a serious thing, sin in the life of a Christian. And it has to be dealt with. Saul was paralyzed by his past. He was paralyzed by the propaganda of the enemy. You know, the things that he saw, like the 10 spies. He saw the giant. Goliath was all cubits and shekels to Saul. He was all brawn and brass. Terrified him. He was paralyzed by what he heard, not just by what he saw, by what he heard. The taunts of the giant for every morning and evening for 6 weeks. He was dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 25, the best that Saul could do in the fight was to offer a bounty to the man who would kill Goliath. Riches, his daughter's hands in his hand, daughter's hand in marriage, tax exemption, only just deal with the giant and all this could be yours. Israel's biggest and best man, and he had no power. And he was paralyzed with fear. Step forward, young David, probably 20 years old at the time he faced the giant. 20 years old. And if Saul is a picture of the natural man in the fight, young David to me is a picture of the spiritual man in the fight. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." You know, you go back to chapter 16, verse 13, the verse before the Spirit departs from Saul, and we are told that after Samuel anointed David, we read this, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon or rushed upon David from that day forward." And we're thinking about the faith required for the fight. We're thinking about David's power. We're thinking about the source of David's power. And if Saul's paralysis lay in his past and in the decisions that he had made in his life in the past, so too David's power. David's power came from his past experiences with God and the key decisions that he had made in his life. Whereas as a young man, he trusted God. A young man who knew God. A young man who trusted God. A young man who proved God in his life. Saul said to David, "You're not able to face this Philistine. Look at you, David. You're just a youth. You have no experience." How we need the energy. How we need the drive. How we need the vision of the younger generation. And what Saul didn't realize was David actually had more experience than him. He had proved the power of God in his life, in his everyday life, just keeping the sheep. That was his job. That was his everyday life. And he had proved God in his everyday life. The lion and the bear, when they attacked the sheep, David killed them. Verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And the source of David's power was his faith in God. He had a living relationship with the living God. You know, it's through David that we learn about God in this chapter. David is the only person who speaks about God in this chapter, apart from one reference by Saul, when Saul says to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." But that's only in response to what David has said. It's through David that we learn about God in this chapter. He talks about the living God, verse 26 and verse 36. A God who was a reality to David in his life, the living God. He talks about the Lord of hosts, the great God, the God of power, verse 45. He talks about there is a God in Israel in verse 46. David's motivation for the fight was to defend the honour of his God. David was jealous for his God, and his power was based in his relationship with the living God. How's your relationship with God? Do you have past experiences in your life with God? Is your relationship with God growing? Developing? Are you proving God, the power of God in your life, in your daily life? How is your relationship with God? It's the secret. Faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In the valley experiences of life, facing the giant, when it feels as though God doesn't exist, when it feels as though God has forgotten about you, that is when you must have faith and continue to walk with God, for He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The secret of David's power. You know, David saw and David heard the very same things that Saul saw and that Saul heard. Saul saw a giant, an invincible giant. David saw the greatness of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, we face a terrible foe, a foe who is persistent, a foe who is pernicious, a foe who is potent and powerful. But our faith is in the one who is triumphant. Our faith is in the one who has overcome. He is the victor. We are overcomers in Christ. We share in Christ's victory, the overcomer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Saul heard and was dismayed and discouraged and terrified by the taunts of the giant. David heard the promises of God to deliver him. David saw and heard the same things as Saul. It's the same as the 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb saw the same things. It's the perspective of faith. The spiritual man and the natural man. The spiritual man views the problems of life with the perspective of the promises and power of God. The faith for the fight. I want to draw the study to a close. I want to think of one final thought. There were a number of impediments put in David's way that day, on his way to the fight. And any one of them could have prevented him from going to the fight to face the giant. The impediment of family. Eliab, his older brother, you know, perhaps still feeling a bit sore, perhaps still a bit humiliated from being passed over when Samuel, no, not him, the youngest, he's the man. Why are you here, David? You should be looking after the sheep. I know the pride of your heart. Sometimes family can be an impediment to spiritual growth and progress in spiritual things and prevent us from going to the fight. And sometimes it can be out of good intentions. You know, you're far too busy. You can't take any more on. And you have to get the balance right. I understand that. Or it may be the example, the witness of a father or a mother to their child. And it can be an impediment. You know, the impediment of a family to stop someone from growing spiritually, to stop someone from going to the fight. second impediment in the chapter, poor leadership, can be an impediment. Saul was David's leader. Sadly, he was a leader who was not in touch with God, a leader who had no wisdom, no relationship with God. You've no experience, David. You don't have the equipment, David. How can you face the giant? Sometimes, you know, it can be those who are in a position of leadership. Maybe not in touch with God and can easily discourage a young man or a young woman in going into the fight and growing spiritually. Or perhaps not recognizing gift. Saul didn't recognize David's experience with God. Perhaps not recognizing the gift of youth and giving them an opportunity. And it can be an impediment to spiritual growth and to development. The propaganda of the enemy, the third impediment. We've already thought about it at a general level, but David, you know, when David stepped forward into the valley to face the giant, when it was just him and the giant, then it all began to get very personal. You know, verse 43, Goliath said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds, to the beasts of the field." You know, the taunts, the ridicule of the enemy. When you step forward to do something for God, when you step forward into the fight and you face the blast of the enemy, the taunts, the ridicule of the enemy, and it's personal, it can be enough to act as an impediment, to prevent you from going into the fight. The final impediment that I see in the chapter is the world. Well, Saul said, "You've no equipment, David. Take my armour, it's the best. Put it on. A helmet of bronze, and a coat of mail and a sword, you'll just be like Goliath. You'll be as well protected and defended as Goliath. Take it." "No," said David. "I cannot go with these. I have not tested them." You know, there's a lesson. When you do a spiritual work for God, don't try and be something that you're not. Don't put anything on. Be yourself in the power of God. Be yourself. David said, I have not tested them. There was only one person that David had tested, and that was God. He had proved God in his life. Ephesians 6 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." 2 Corinthians 10, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We can't face an enemy, a spiritual enemy, with the world's weapons. We can't put on the armour of Saul. It has to be the whole armour of God. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know, that's why this is a spiritual battle. You need to be spiritually prepared. That's why you need to be spending time with the Word of God. And you need to have personal prayer time. And as a church, you know, it's thinking about the prayer meeting. You know, I really do believe that the prayer meeting, the vibrancy of the prayer meeting, is a good indication of the spiritual health of the church. A prayer meeting where there is a sense of burden. You know, I'd be interested to know what you thought the burden was of our prayer meeting. I've got my own ideas. Where do you think the burden of our prayer meeting is? The degree of repetition. Are we praying for the same things week after week after week? The vibrancy, the energy. A spiritual battle. The fight, the foe, the faith. Let me close with this challenge. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? Are you in the fight? Are you in the fight? Or are you like Saul? Paralyzed. No power. Life passing you by. No spiritual growth. No spiritual development. I understand the Spirit can't leave us. But we can grieve the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. And there is no power in our life. No power in our witness. You're not even in the fight. You're doing Satan's work. He doesn't want you in the fight. Or will you be like David, called to the fight by your faith in the living God, able to fight because you have a living relationship with the living God, and you know him, and you trust him, and you've proved him in your life? And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. May God bless his word. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons from the life of David. We thank you for your power. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. But today we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the one who faced the foe, for the one who overcame. And we thank you today for the victory of the cross. And we just ask your blessing now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.